Lord, may the words of my mouth and may the meditation of all our hearts and minds be acceptable and pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So there were two men living in a certain town. One man was wealthy. He had many cattle and many lambs, so many he couldn't count them all at once. And then in that same town, there was a poor man. That poor man had no cattle, and he had just one lonely lamb. But he loved that lamb with everything he had. He raised it like he did his children. It ate the same food as him, drank from the same cup with him. It even slept in his arms. It was like a daughter to him. Now, one day, a traveler came into this town, and it was the rich man's duty to provide for this traveler. And did this rich man sacrifice one of his cattle or one of his lambs? No. What did he do? He went and he stole the lamb of the poor man and sacrificed it for a feast for the traveler. What, may you ask, should happen to this rich man and what he did? This question, this very question off this very story was asked by Nathan, King David's best friend, told and asked to King David. And how did King David respond when he heard this story? But as he burned with anger, he said, "As surely as the Lord lives, the man who did this must die. He must pay for that lamb four times over because he did such a thing and had no pity." King David thought pity should not be given to this man who had so much and took from a man who had so little. Nathan shared with David as he held up a mirror to the king and said, "The rich man is you, and the poor man was Uriah, who you just had killed so you could have his wife." Having that mirror held up struck David right to the bone of having to realize what he had done. He, a man so rich, he, a man who had so much, he who had enough wives it would be hard to count. Boy, why a man would want that many wives, I don't know. But here he had them. But King David, the man whose heart last week we were talking about, a heart so strong he was chosen to be king of Israel, a heart so strong he defeated Goliath, a heart so strong, he built up Israel not only as a strong nation, but a strong, God-fearing nation that was prospering under the blessings of God. But then what happens? The strong king, the strong man of God, it says it was springtime, and in the springtime, kings were to go out to war with their troops. Kings were to be at the front line, to be the ones for their troops to follow, to be the one to rally them and encourage them, to be there in the midst of those who were putting their lives on the line to protect the people they were loyal to. But it says in that springtime, King David was not out with his troops where he was supposed to be, but he stayed home. He wasn't where he was supposed to be. He had lost his focus. He had lost what was important. And what happened? But he left himself vulnerable to sin. And upon that roof, his eyes fell into it first. It just takes a moment, doesn't it? Just takes a moment to not be where we're supposed to be, to not be doing what we're supposed to be doing. Today's day and age, we're reminded constantly of just that moment. Every time we see the billboards, every time we see the signs, every time we hear the commercials that tell us, please do not text and drive, right? We all think it's okay, don't we? Everybody's going, no, we don't. You think it's just a second. Just a second to take my eyes off the road to see what's so important that's coming through my phone. It's just a second what could happen. But we know in just that second, tragedy can occur. In just that second, crashes and collisions can occur. We know in just that second, lives can be lost. In just that second, David fell from grace. In just that second, the king was diminished from the mighty to the fallen. We can easily be there too, can't we? Easily be there in the wrong relationship leading us astray, spending time with the wrong people, having our focus in the wrong place, our priorities out of order, putting things that should be second first, just not being where we're supposed to be. And in just a moment, with our heart in the wrong place, we can see tragedy falling, whether it's on a small scale or a large scale. I've been there. I don't know if you've been there. Just that moment of the wrong decision. Just that moment of saying the wrong thing. Just that moment of hurting somebody that's the last person we want to hurt. That moment when we know we've sinned. That moment when we know we're at fault. King David found that moment. King David found that moment. And the 51st song, it's introduced saying, a psalm of King David after Nathan's confronted him about his time with Bathsheba. Nathan holds up the mirror and says, look what you have done. And David, what does he do? He doesn't make excuses. He doesn't run away from Nathan. He's not like Adam and Eve and tries to hide in the bushes thinking God won't see him. But when David realizes he's sinned, he gets down on his knees and he prays to God. In 2 Samuel, when Nathan tells him what he's done, the first thing David does is he says, I have sinned. And in the 51st verse, he humbles himself before God and he says, I have sinned against you. I am caught in my transgressions. My heart is in the wrong place. And he begs of God to transform it. He asks God to wash him clean. He asks God, create in me a clean heart. And restore me to a right spirit. This word creates a very important word in here. It's not like we create a masterpiece of art. It's not like we create a beautiful cake to eat. It's not anything we as human beings can do, no matter how creative we think we are. But this Hebrew word create is actually a word attributed only to God. God creates. Like God created the heaven and the earth, and God created each one of us, something we as human beings do not have the capability of doing. And that is what David is begging for. God, what you and only you can do in my heart, do right now. And what is he asking him to do? Take me through the process of purging me of my wrongs, purging me of my sins, no matter how painful that process may be. Think about how painful that process was for David to have to actually stop and think about what he had done that had cost an innocent man his life. To have to go through that emotion, to have to go through that remorse, to have to go through that shame is like pouring alcohol onto an open wound and the pain that comes with it. But why do we do that? To cleanse the impurities out of the wound so that it can properly heal. And David says, take me through that painful process. Let those impurities come out so that I can properly heal and that you can resurrect my heart back to the place it's supposed to be, back knitted into a right relationship with you, where you are fortifying me and strengthening me to a place I was before. He says, rebuild up the walls around Jerusalem. Build the walls up around me that puts me in a relationship with you where I can resist these temptations and these sins. You have to give David credit for what he is doing here. That heart that we talked about last week, that was the heart that was chosen to be king, because what was in it and who he was with God, the strength of that heart is coming out now. It takes a strong heart to admit when it's wrong and to want to be put back right. And this is good news for us. As we seek to have a heart like David's, that's the heart that's faithful and courageous and brave and in tune with God, like we saw David last week battling Goliath and taking the throne, to have that strength and that courage to admit when we have done wrong. In our lowest and weakest of times, to not run away from God, to not be ashamed to where we cannot face God, to not blame God, but to run to God and say, there's only one place I can go in this moment, and that's on my knees with you, so you can take me through the process of healing, resurrection, and restoration. And what happens to us is what happened to David. Because David says before Nathan and God, he says, I have sinned. And what does Nathan say to him? The Lord has taken away your sin. The Lord has taken away your sin. God knows our humanity. God has created us in our humanity. He knows we'll have time of weakness. He knows we have time we lose focus. He knows when we have those moments where our eyes drift for just a second because we think it's innocent and everything will be okay. He knows us right down to the core. He knows that's going to happen. But God says, I'm waiting. When that happens, I'm right here to put your eyes back where they're to be. To put you back in focus, to put you back in tune, to put you back in a place of grace, to start again. The strength in our hearts is the strength of God, if we will just seek him in those moments. Today we come to the communion table. Today we get reminded that we are even more blessed than David, because David was before Jesus. David was before somebody sacrificed themselves so that he could have grace and forgiveness. And we have this gift. And so I pray that as we prepare to come to this table, that what we will prepare is our hearts. That we will not come proud to this table, but that we will come humble to this table, ready to admit as we sit there and as we come forward, willing to admit our lowest moments to God and where we're weak, and to ask God that through the process of coming forward and receiving communion, that God can purge us of those weaknesses, that God can purge us of those moments of shame, that God can purge us of those regrets that we have, and that we can walk from this table with a clean and righteous heart. That's the heart that God has given us. And that's the heart that God desires. Not the one that's perfect, but the one that is continually restored because of our faith in God and God's love for us. My friends, will you pray with me? God, we are so humble to be your children because we are human. We do make our mistakes. We do not have perfect marks each and every day. But we give you thanks that those marks against us don't sit on our record, that you are the one that cleanses us of those, that you are the one that is continually reaching into us, resurrecting our heart, and putting it fresh and new once again. For such a gift of life and new life, we give you thanks this morning, and we ask that you will bless this meal that we take to be the taste of the liberation from sin that we so desperately need, and the first bite of our new life with you. For all of this we pray in your holy and mighty name. Amen.